Basic Bananas.
Hi, and welcome back to Basic Bananas Radio. Today, I'm talking to a very special guest, Ronsley Vass. He is the founder of the Southern Hemisphere's first podcasting conference, and the conference is called We Are Podcast. So I thought I'd invite Ronsley along to our show to talk about podcasting. So welcome, Ronsley.
Thanks, Francesca. Thanks for having me. Do you call all your guests special?
Yes, I do. Yeah, I actually do, you know, and I was just thinking as I was saying it, I'm like, I might have to switch it up a little bit, but maybe you just are all special, I guess, otherwise we wouldn't talk to you.
fair enough.
So, Ronsley, can you tell us a little bit about you and even why did you start the first podcasting conference in the Southern Hemisphere last year, right? Was the first one.
That's right.
Tell us a little bit about it and why, and then I want to definitely talk about podcasting and the power of podcasting and anything else that you think would add value to our listeners.
Sure. So, I have to blame Andrew Griffiths for the idea. We were having breakfast actually after a KPI event, so this is all we know all these people, so we're mutual friends, Glenn Carlson and Andrew Griffiths. So we were having breakfast one morning, and Andrew's like, "Why don't you have an event for podcasters?" Because I was trying to tell him, like, you know, our podcasting is the new blogging, is the new videoing. You can consume it while you're doing other things, and it's so powerful, and people don't know about it yet. And he's like, "Why don't you create the conference? Because if someone's going to do it, you might as well be the first one." So he stuck that idea in my head, and I just couldn't let go of the idea. So a couple of months later, I was talking to a few people, got a few speakers together, and I said, well, let's put a date in. I suppose one thing led to the other. And in November last year, we had the first podcasting conference, and it was purely created to just let business owners, artists, entrepreneurs to know that their message can be heard in a different light. Because the best way you explain what you do is through a conversation, and audio allows you to have that. And I didn't want Australian business owners to kind of wait for a few years after, you know, the American market and the UK market took over the podcasting space, and they kind of went, oh, I should have got involved in podcasting. So that's why we created it, just for purely an education conference. And yeah, it happened last year.
Yeah, that's awesome. And you're running your second one in a few months, I believe.
That's right. It's actually less than 2 months away. It's crazy. It's scary as well. But 6th, 7th and 8th of October, yes, on the Gold Coast again.
Awesome. So what do you think is the impact of podcasting and the benefit of podcasting for small businesses?
Well, when you think about any conversion you've had in a small business, it's always happened through a conversation. You think about the impact that any movement has ever had, you can always trace it back to a speech. Like if you think about gender equality, a phone with one button, when you think about women's rights, you can go back to one single point where a speech changed the way we as a race saw that particular subject. And now with the availability of, I suppose, if mobile phones being the first and the last screen we look at every day, and the technology to get that audio onto your mobile phone, I suppose there's never been a better time to get involved and let people know more about what you do through the one medium, or the one way that you let everyone in fact know what you do is through a conversation. So I think that's why small businesses, especially in Australia, should get involved, because a lot of the market is being taken over by the Americans.
Yeah, I agree. Actually, there are definitely a lot more American podcasts out there than there are Australian ones, but also they have a much larger population, obviously. What do you know some stats around how many people are listening to podcasts versus spending time on, say, Instagram or Twitter or Facebook? Do you know any stats around that sort of stuff, or even spending time on YouTube versus listening to a podcast? Do you know any figures around that? Because that would be really interesting to compare too.
Yeah, well, last year they have this conference every year. It's called the Future of Tech, And the CEO of Yahoo, I want to say Michael Wolff, but I forget his name, did this great presentation on the future of tech and the 10 trends that would take over. And number three trend was audio. Audio on demand, that included podcasting, Spotify, radio in general, would be the next biggest trend. In fact, podcast consumption in 2016 will cross the 10 billion hour mark. It has grown, podcast listenership has grown 75% since 2013. We know that the kinds of listeners that listen to podcasts are very affluent. They generally have a higher annual income, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But more importantly, that when you're a podcast listener, if you are already a podcast listener, you listen to an average about four or five shows a week. So the consumption once you're a podcast listener is quite high, and it is growing quite dramatically in terms of listenership. They do say that video, in terms of Netflix and YouTube, consumption is also up there in par with audio consumption. However, when they talk about Netflix and YouTube and the on-demand stuff, it's for very well-produced audio video, not not our live video and our selfie videos that we have. So in terms of the engagement, when you think about it, video and blogging, you've got to stop what you're doing to consume that content. However, with a podcast or any audio, you can do other things while you consume that content. So that is quite powerful.
Exactly. That's one thing I was going to mention too, is probably one of the reasons why audio on demand is so popular and on the rise too, is because you can just, you can listen to something while you're driving or doing the dishes or working out. So it's a lot easier than it is to watch a video. So I can see how it would actually be a growing demand for that sort of media. Now, in terms of small businesses and our listeners, do you believe that having your own podcast, so podcasting, is for everyone? And if so, yes. If not, who do you think would benefit from having their own show and who maybe not so much?
Sure. I mean, I believe it's for everyone, and I still haven't come across, and I think that's very biased of me as well. I'm very aware of that statement, but I haven't yet come across a business that wouldn't benefit from a podcast. The reason I say that is when you think of engagement, you think of social media and any sort of content that you put out there. When you think of pull marketing or even push marketing, a tweet will have a few seconds of engagement. A video, 1 minute, 2 minutes at the most. A blog, if you read the whole article, a 1,000-word blog has got maybe about 6 or 7 minutes if you read the entire article. When you think about audio consumption, the average consumption is between 37 and 46 minutes, which is engagement at its highest level. So if you can create all your collateral in a way that drives your ideal customer or your ideal listener to a spot where they consume you for 36 minutes or 30 minutes every week, that's a lot of very, very high engagement where they listen to your voice. And there's something very inherent about listening to business owners' voice or anyone's voice for that matter, because it is the first sense we develop in our mother's womb. That's why they talk to your baby before the baby is born. So all these different aspects about sound and audio contribute to getting more trust, which is the know, like, and trust factor about before someone buys from you. You have conversations anyway in your business, whether you're a manufacturing business or you're a service business or you're a product-based business. You have conversations anyway. Why not harness those conversations and create a more meaningful sense of engagement through the people who want to do business with you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it all makes sense. I still know that there will be people on the show now thinking, oh my God, what would I even talk about? So now let's talk about a little bit about different shows that you have seen do really well, and even some that are totally left field that you would think, oh, nobody wants to listen to a plumber or nobody wants to listen to an accountant all day long, which probably is a little bit easier than a plumber. But what are some shows that you have seen that are a little bit left field that are doing really well? And then also, what are some content ideas?
Sure. I think one of the easiest, so for me, I really believe in the conversation pattern. I believe in like what we're doing right now. We're having a conversation because not only are we getting some content out of this whole conversation, we're also getting to know each other really well. At the end of this conversation, you know, for me, you will become a very treasured acquaintance, and likewise, because we've had this conversation, we've had a bit of to and fro, and that happens with any conversation. So that allows you to build relationships, which I believe no other medium can do, and it's a lot easier because right now we're on Skype, you know, we're just having this conversation. However, in terms of left field, I've seen a really popular podcast called The Boring Podcast, mm-hmm. and that is created purely to let people go to sleep. And it's a big issue it got millions and millions of listeners, and it's purely to help people go to sleep, which is quite interesting, right? and then when you think about small businesses, you think about accountants, you don't necessarily have to sell yourself. You have to create a conversation around something that you know your customers or your potential customers want to know about. And that's usually the case with us as business owners. We think of the sales straight away. We don't necessarily think of the engagement. And we don't think of what is the tipping point that gets your customer to buy from you. So if you try to sell to someone who doesn't think that they need your services yet, you come across as too salesy. And that's a problem. And the primary reason for that is that you still haven't taken the time to figure out who your customer is, what they're doing, what ticks them, what makes them tick, what are their secret fears, all these little things that as business owners, we really should know that about our clients. Because if we don't know that, there's no way we can speak to them. We get involved with social media, we get involved with all these things and say, buy from us. And that's not necessarily the way to do it. We need to figure out what makes our customers want to know more about something that we're involved in. We have to educate them. And for an accountant, it could be as simple as creating a small business podcast and talk about the different aspects of small business, which any small business would like to know. And then it's created by an accountant. Put an accounting twist to it. Put a numbers twist to it. It could be marketing. They could interview a whole bunch of marketers or HR people and just talk about numbers in terms of the change in numbers after they got involved in a certain business success stories. There's so many different angles you can go by. You don't actually have to create an accounting podcast if you're an accountant, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, and I think the accounting one is actually quite an easy one. But what about a plumber? You know, what could a plumber talk about, for example, on a show?
Well, I would, if it's a plumber, I would create a podcast about homes, because the chances are that when the plumber gets his business, he gets it from homeowners. So I would focus everything around homeowners and how to improve your home, and that way you can get a real estate agent to sponsor the show. You can talk about anything to do with home maintenance on the show, and you're the plumber that brings all these people together. I mean, and you can create such a huge business about being the one-stop shop that, you know, not only can you offer plumbing, but you have all these different other people that you have access to that if someone's listening to your show and looking for home improvement, the chances are they'll either want to do it themselves, which you're helping them anyway, or they'll want you to do it, or they would like the instructions on how to do it themselves. So that's what I would do. I would be the holistic sort of plumber that brought all these different aspects of home ownership together, get a bigger agency to sponsor the show and give them money because that's the people they want, and win all around.
Yeah, and you know what? You can really think out of the box here a little bit. Actually, I really don't like that saying. You can think differently. And one of our members, she was on a podcast on our radio show here recently, yep. Sally. She runs a wedding gown business, and she's creating a podcast right now. And same thing, you know, at the beginning, she's like, I want to do this, because she's basically trying on everything, all different marketing channels. And at first, she's like, but I'm not going to be able to talk about wedding gowns all day long, and it's maybe not that interesting. But what she can do is she can share love stories, She's still just determining her name. Maybe she said hopeless romantics or something like that. But it could just be sharing love stories, getting her brides that she works with, the ones that she makes the gowns for, to come on the show and interview them about how they met. And oh, you know, she's already started doing that for her newsletter, and people love those stories. So you can really think a little bit differently here.
Absolutely. And you don't actually have to even publish a podcast. So we have an agency called Amplify. And what we do is we interview clients, and we get all our content from a conversation, whether we interview the clients or the clients interview their guests. So it doesn't matter. But we take that interview, and our content team takes that and creates the articles around that. Our social media team will create all the graphics around that. And they have content for the whole week in, week out, for the whole month, and everything is created from a conversation. So you don't even have to some of them don't even publish those audio files, but it's 1 hour a month, which gets them all the content they need for the rest of the month.
Now, what if they do say want to launch a podcast show? How can they get listeners? How can they actually get people to come and listen to their show?
Well, I think it's in the niche. And this is a really good question, because a lot of the times we think that we create the podcast and everything comes from that point. It's 20% creation, 80% marketing. I think it's all that collateral that you create around your show. So if, as an example, you can take any conversation, any podcast interview that you do, and you can break it down into top 10 takeaways. Those 10 takeaways can become 10 tweets. Those 10 takeaways can also become, you know, Instagram images. You can just reverse engineer every single podcast episode to create collateral on social media, on articles, and take your people from social media to your podcast, because you know that you're gonna get their attention with social media, but you need to get their engagement. You need them to spend as much time with your brand as possible, and there's no better way to do that than through an audio file. So create all your collateral in a way that sends anyone's attention to your business to a podcast. That's the way we do it, and we've gotten great results through harnessing the other platforms and driving all the traffic to the audio file.
And are there any secrets? So most of the podcasts you can launch in iTunes for free.
Yes.
Are there any secrets on how to get found? Do you think the name really matters? Does it have to be keywords rich? Because you also don't want to come up with a name that sounds unsexy, because you're compromising on keywords. What are your strategies on doing that?
Yeah, that's a brilliant question. I think I've made a few mistakes along the way. By naming my podcast something very fancy, and I had to explain myself. And I feel like the simpler the name, the better it is. So if you're creating, as an example, I created a podcast last year called Podcast Revolution. What the hell does that really even mean? That doesn't mean anything. That doesn't mean squat. So this year we rebranded that podcast and called it Should I Start a Podcast? Mm-hmm. Very simple, very straightforward, and someone that comes across the name knows exactly what the podcast is about and what the promise is. So I suggest someone starting a podcast should have the name in the two things that they should think about. First is, what is the promise of the show, and does the name reflect the promise? And two, is that something someone would type into Google? So Should I Start a Podcast is straightforward. It is something that someone would type into Google, I suppose, and it kind of answers the promise of what the show is about. So it's, you know, if you can create a name in that, ticking those two boxes, I think you're off to a winner.
Interesting. So you actually do say compromise. So rather than going for something a little bit fun and memorable, you know, like bold, for example, you know, like just one word that is just fun and memorable, and you can create a really cool title. Instead of doing that, you would actually go for more descriptive.
Absolutely. I think I would go for more descriptive podcast name. I would spend more time on bold, innovative stuff for your business name.
Interesting. Yeah, that's a good distinction. That's very interesting. Now, just to wrap it up, what's one question that I should have asked you about podcasting that I didn't ask you?
Oh, wow. It's funny because I ask this question a lot. And
do you? I don't think I've asked this question very much. I don't even know if I've asked this question.
Oh, I ask this question a lot, and I seem to stump people. And funny how you get stumped as well when it's asked to you your way. I think the one question I wish people asked me more is what is not what microphone and what kind of podcast should I start, but what are the initial steps to figuring out the best way to start a podcast? And by far, it is that initial step where you figure out who your listener is. Not only, I think there are three things that you need to figure out before you consider starting a podcast, before you figure out what mic to buy and what the structure of your show is going to be. It's who you are and why you're different as a business owner. Number two, who your people are and what their secret fears are. And three, who your peers and your partners are and how they can add value to your show. And then when you bring all of them together, you figure out a very unique, there's only going to be one of you. There's only going to be one of you that can handle your people the way you do. And there's only going to be one of you that can connect with your partners and your peers the way you do. So when you bring all those three elements together, you can't help but create a unique show. Rather than saying, I want to create a show, let's do something that has already exists and I'll do it differently because I will do it. I think those three elements are key.
Great. I love that. That's a really great place to wrap up this interview. Thank you so much for sharing all your gold nuggets. I definitely also took away some really great learnings for ourselves. Now, where can people find you and your show? Your conference, yeah. Which is kind of a show, a full day or 2 day show. Where can people find out more about it?
So yeah, it's 2 days. It's wearepodcast.com just click on the 2016 button.
Great. Awesome. Thanks so much. Thanks again, Ronsley.
Thanks, Francisco.
Basic bananas.